Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hitting a 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
About it. Call his wife and hey, 406 McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you for one more hour until we take you to the warm show at 5-888-808-1019. Rami on the other side, and we spent a lot of time talking about the disaster that was game two of the New York Yankees series against the Kansas City Royals as they dropped it 4-2. The offense, yet again, nowhere to be found, especially with runners in scoring position. Yet again, Judge not coming through. And to me, you know, we could also talk about the starting pitching, which has been brutal in this series. And Rodon was terrible after an incredibly electric start, man. Just electric. I was ready to jump through the roof. I could not believe what I was watching. I was so pumped up after watching him get all excited and peacocking all over the place and let's go, boys. I was loving it like an idiot. Cause obviously he falls apart in the fourth, gives up four runs. That's all the runs they score. He gets knocked out of the game after 3 2/3. When you give up, what's the stat line on Rodon? 3 2/3, 7 hits, 4 runs, 0 walks, 7 Ks. That's a hideous line for the kind of pitching he was doing the first three innings. It's just amazing how quickly it fell apart and unraveled for Carlos Rodon. And then, of course, for me, the biggest moment of the game is the first inning yet again. Because if you go back to game one, they have second and third, nobody out, with Judge coming up, and they can't come through. They end up winning that game, so it's not the devastating turn of events that this game was. But again, back-to-back nights, all the talk about Judge, his recent postseason failures over the last 2 years specifically. You can go back even further than that, but for me, it's the last two postseasons. He's been brutally bad, striking out at a rate we haven't seen in the postseason. Not from a guy who's arguably the best right-handed hitter of all time, or at least that's what his season was this year. And all that noise, and coming off the emotion that was an electric 3-strikeout first inning from Carlos Rodon, with their ace on the mound, in a moment, first and second, nobody out, the Royals already down a game in this series at Yankee Stadium. I mean, there's even a point, and they pointed out in the broadcast, maybe one of the good things about the broadcast in the entire night, they mentioned you could see that Reagan's was so, like, befuddled and kind of thrown off his game in the first inning and so nervous, he didn't have any saliva in his mouth. You could see him trying to get a little bit on his tongue to lick his hand before going to the, you know, to pitch. Like, he was on the ropes. And Aaron Judge swings and misses at a 97 mile an hour fastball, a little bit up, but pretty much right down the middle of the plate. And that just set, it was a human momentum killer. It was a human momentum killer from what Rodon did on the first inning of that on that mound, and then to have that moment again back to back nights and immediately set the tone for this game. It set the tone offensively for this game. I'm not going to put the Rodon fourth inning performance on him, but there was just, I feel like that game's different. He's pitching with a lead. Things are different if Judge comes through, and it doesn't have to be a 3-run home run, but something. A base hit. If he laced one, you know, down the third baseline in that at bat, this whole game is completely different. And now it's going to start to build on Judge, who you know, I'll defend on some level. I can't defend him for last night. I thought he was the major part of the game and part of the reason why they lost this game. I can't defend him for this first two games of the series. He's been bad. And I can't even defend him for his last, I don't know, 60, 70, 80 at-bats in the postseason. He's been bad. He's not nearly been anywhere near the caliber player he's been in the regular season. I don't think that proves he can't do it. I still expect him every day to do it because that's the kind of player he is. And he has done it before in the postseason. It's not like he's never done it. He's had good series. He's had big moments. He's had home runs. But right now, it's just not good enough. But that just set the tone for the entire game. And they need better from him because ultimately they're not going to go anywhere without him. Like, we could talk, and we have. We've talked about a couple things. One, the idea of when putting this team together, both the idea of only two good hitters and there's not enough offensively, and who's going to protect Judge. And right now you look through the lineup, some of the guys we all hated and didn't expect are the ones coming through. One, Gleyber Torres, who we almost ran out of town halfway through the year, is killing it in the leadoff spot. Verdugo, who nobody wanted in the lineup 2 days ago, has won them game one and came through with another big hit to start what should have been the start of a rally in the seventh in this game. And so the hitters around him are performing better than he is. And then the other one is, when building the team and the cry from the fan base to Brian Cashman has always been, are you really going to let the prime of Aaron Judge go like this? You have a window here of championships with Cole and Judge. Best hitter on the planet. Judge. Can't room Judge's prime. Judge is not doing anything to help his own prime. Judge has to come through, plain and simple. And if he doesn't, they're not going to win. They might be able to get through this series. It's possible. You can get through a series. You can win another two games if Soto steps up or Stanton steps up or Wells steps up. It's possible. But they are not going to get back to the World Series, and they are not going to win another championship unless Judge is their most impactful hitter. He needs to be impactful. We talked about Pete Alonso. This is Pete Alonso, but to the nth degree. They need him to be impactful. And unlike Pete Alonso, he's done that all year. And it has to start right now. But I fully expect him to. And the Yankees are split after two against Kansas City, like every other postseason series. All other three are all tied at one. They've gotten no starting pitching, and Judge hasn't hit. And yet they're tied, heading to Kansas City, where hopefully, I'm really hoping, that some of the pressure that resides at Yankee Stadium. And I think that is tangible. And unfortunately, they're a team that's having trouble dealing with it. Some teams thrive on it. This team has trouble with it. Clearly, this group has particularly had trouble with it. But you look at just the regular season, where the pressure is lessened. They've been a better team on the road all year than they have at home. All year. They led Major League Baseball in road wins, and they're going to have to go do it again. And at least get one in Kansas City. But Game 5 would scare me. And I just talked about the idea of maybe saving Cole for Game 5 because I don't know off of this performance if you could pitch Rodon again in this series. So a lot to get to and a lot to discuss with the New York Yankees. We'll take your calls at 888-808-1019. And, of course, the New York Mets. As we will turn to them a little bit here in the fourth 4 o'clock hour, as we get ready 12 hours from now, game number 3 at Citi Field, back home for the first time in legitimately 2 weeks of playing live or die baseball, do or die baseball for the last two weeks, whether it's in Atlanta, Milwaukee, Philadelphia. The Mets have been fighting for their lives on the road, come home, tied at one, did what they had to do, got the split. Still, even in the loss, showed heroics and comeback ability and just a never-say-die attitude that I don't know if I've ever seen another team do more consistently in late innings than the New York Mets have here. But they've got their best pitcher on the mound, looking to take a big-time 2-1 advantage. These when the series is tied 1-1, this is not rocket science. Game 3 in a 5-game set is a huge game. This is a game that you have to win if you really want to win this series. And the Mets have Manaea on the mound and a lineup that never dies. And right now, a key thing for me is the bullpens. And I think it's going to be the telltale decision, and it's going to be the thing that decides this series, because right now, I don't think Philadelphia has anything to throw at the Mets in the bullpen. Like, they have thrown Hoffman, they've thrown Strom, they've thrown their late-inning guys, and the Mets have tattooed them. Not just, you know, figured out a way to scratch across a run, tattooed them. I don't think they have any answers for the Mets out of the bullpen. And while it hasn't been as bad with the Mets, what kind of faith do you have in Diaz? Because these series turn into bullpen games. They just do. Nola's an excellent pitcher. Manaea's had a great year. The odds of this game becoming a bullpen game are very likely. They should be rested. They didn't throw Maton the other day. They didn't throw Stanek the other day. They should have both of them ready to go. Plus Buto, you would think, should be ready to go for some length. Diaz should be ready to go. All the Phillies bullpen guys should be ready to go. And ultimately, I still think, even though Diaz blew that game, I still feel better about their bullpen than the Philly bullpen, because it felt like they have no real answers for a Met team that has now proven that it's never too late and the game is never over. So this should be a real fun series. I'm looking forward to it. The offense, you know, you'd like to see the offense get off to a good start, although do you? If you look at the wins and losses, when they fall behind, they win. When they gain, when they get the lead, they lose. It has been one of the more wacky runs in, forget Mets history, baseball history. It's crazy what the Mets have done. So, I mean, who knows what will happen at 4 o'clock today, but I'm looking forward to it. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Peter in Lawrence. What's up, Pete?
Did you get the book?
I did get the book, yes. Thank you very much.
You want,
I got the book, and I got the picture from the New Yorker. Thank you very much. Very kind of you.
I would say you are correct in all the pitching aspects of the Yankees and the Royals going at it in Game 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, I got to think about it. I'm right now, I'm just posing the question. I got to be honest. I got to let it ruminate. I got to think on it. I'll have a better feeling for it tomorrow, but I dismissed it earlier today. Now I'm not so sure I can dismiss it, because I have a real hard problem thinking about going back to Rodon in this series for a game 5 winner go home. I have a real problem thinking about starting him in that game. So if that's the case, I don't know if I have another option. I mean, I guess I could just wait and throw Luis Gil in game 5 instead and still throw Cole in game 4. It's not like that's not an option. It is. But I just feel like if they win game 3, maybe you could try and throw Luis Gil in game 4, and maybe you get lucky, you win that game, and now you have Cole for game 1 of the ALCS, and if not, you have your best pitcher for game 5 in a do or die. I mean, I guess that makes sense. That was before I didn't think, like, if Rodon threw 7 innings and they just lost this game, like if Rodon pitched like he did in the first 3 innings, and Rodon gave you 7 innings of 2-run baseball, but they lost, you know, 3-1 or something, I don't think I would have changed my plans. It would have been Schmidt game 3, Cole game 4, Rodon game 5. But because of how it fell apart on him, and because I just can't trust him to deal with any sort of negative momentum, it's a real tough ass to throw him in game 5.
Because I was listening to the game on the radio.
Yeah.
Because Costas and Darling, Costas gets on my nerves.
Oh, my God. Gets on your nerves. I mean, he never gets off him.
Like
he's just tap dancing through the whole friggin' thing. It's unbelievable. He never stops. He's constantly telling stories and talking about this or that, and, you know, talking about George Brett, talking about the 70s rivalry, talking about how historic Judge's season was. I mean, these at bats decide the game, and I can't think. I can't watch it. It was, and I'm not one to get on a broadcast. I'm really not, nor do I care typically. But I mean, these games mean something to me, and I couldn't watch it.
So I listened on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
John Sterling and Susan Wardman, and I thought it was very interesting how we left too many people on base.
Yeah, I mean, I don't find it that interesting, Peter, to be totally honest with you. I don't find it very interesting at all. I'm not too happy about it. But again, it's one game. The Yankee fans' reaction to this, it's one game, it's a series. It's a series. They haven't hit just yet. And they're still right there. Like, and Kansas City's not better than they are. They're better than Kansas City. They are. They're better than Kansas City. I still believe they're going to win this series. I think Clark Schmidt's going to pitch really well. I think it. I wouldn't be surprised if Lugo pitches well. I don't know if the Yankees are going to bomb Lugo, but here's the thing. They have lost pretty much because Judge has done nothing. And I don't care about his last 80 at-bats. I don't care about his last 100 at-bats. I don't care about his last 5 at-bats. I have confidence in Aaron Judge. And honestly, I think you'd be a fool not to. I have confidence in him. He's the best hitter in the world. Eventually, he'll figure it out. I don't know how you couldn't feel that way. He's too good. It's too small a sample size. The playoffs are, you know, I mean, what are you going to do? Like, I'm arguing with some guy on Twitter about this. Like, what should the Yankees do? Like, honestly, should the Yankees, like, and moving forward, like, say you've established, like, say they lose, Judge doesn't hit. What should they do moving forward? Get rid of him? Let him hit 58 to 60 home runs, carry them to the postseason, and then see, like, knock on Steve Pierce's door and see if he wants to come back? Like, what do you do? You play Aaron Judge and you hope he comes through. That's all you can do. EJ in East Meadow, what's up, EJ?
Cena.
Yes, sir.
So I feel like sometimes when you get into these modes, you kind of talk yourself into circles. Maybe you're convincing yourself, and I'm not. I actually agree with you. I think the Yankees are going to win the series. I'm not a Yankee fan, mm-hmm. But I do love your show, and I love to listen to you.
Thank you.
But I mean, we talk about Bob Costas talking a lot. You keep going on and on about how you have the confidence. You started the show with that. You have the confidence, and let's not all freak out. And then as the show progresses, you start to question your own self. You know, is it a concern? That's what Yankee fans are going to do. And you know that. You've been doing this a long time. That's what they do. And Mets fans, too. Yeah. Right? We're going to get, you know, every once in a while, we lose, and oh, my God, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's fandom. That's kind of how it goes.
Of course. No, well, listen, I opened the show talking about what lost them the game. And what lost him the game in my mind was Aaron Judge.
I've heard it all 2.5 hours. Man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you for listening. But I'm just saying, I'm not talking in circles. I'm giving you this is why they lost. Well, it's a concern, but it's not something that I think is inevitable. I get the feeling from the Yankee fans
course,
I talk to that. Yeah, I know you
right.
say of course
but
because it's
like
level headed. Yeah.
But just like you said that, you also said you did, if it's not inevitable that they're going to lose, it's also not, you know, definite that they're going to win.
Right.
And you've said a couple of times.
I think they're going to win.
A couple of times also that you think. Right. So that's what I'm saying. It's okay. It's open to everybody's interpretation. If somebody calls up and says, well, I'm concerned about this, that, and the third, and it matches the same as you. I feel like you're doing. I just feel like
I haven't got on anybody for anybody's concerns or anybody's fears, other than people who want to call up and move Judge in the lineup. Those people I have gotten on. Anybody who wants to call me up and say, you know, I just don't know, Chris. I don't think they're going to hit. You know, they haven't hit in the clutch. I'm concerned about it. Of course, I would never. I have not just dismissed that offhand. It's been a major problem. We've been going over this for a long time. When the Yankees lose, they lose because they don't score runs. That's why they lose. I've been saying that forever. That's why I wanted Dominguez to play over Verdugo, and it might have been the wrong decision, but I wanted offense. Whatever the case, I wanted offense at the trade deadline. They're like, if you could only have one, another reliever, the bullpen was in disarray at the point. I'm like, I don't care. I want offense. Offense, offense, offense. I've been saying this forever. I want offense. So is it possible that they lose the series and don't hit? Absolutely. Do I think it's inevitable? Like, we've already seen enough proof that I know it can't continue, that it's going to continue? No. That's all I'm saying. It could. I don't think it will. I think they'll do enough to win this series. And they'll have to do more in the next series and hopefully the World Series. But my only problem and the only person I've yelled at or the only person that I've taken a real exception to what they had to say was two callers who suggested moving Judge in the lineup. I think that's an asinine decision. I think moving Judge would be the worst thing they could possibly do. The worst. It would send the absolute worst message. You think it would send accountability. You would think it would say, hey, oh man, if they could move Judge. No, it would not. It would send panic. He's literally the reason Verdugo is here. He's Aaron Rodgers in many ways. He's involved in the offseason decision-making. He's the captain of the team. He's the best hitter in the world. He's the runaway MVP. Two games into a playoff series that you didn't even lose both games is not the time to mess around with the lineup. It's crazy talk. It's absolute insanity. You do not tell your team that look at him as like Hercules, half man, half God, that, yeah, we're so concerned after two games in which we won one of them. We are so concerned that now we have to move Judge out of the three hole. That would be asinine. You want to call me up and say you're concerned about this, that, and the other? You're concerned about the starting pitching in this team? You don't like Clark Schmidt? And we've already seen the first two guys blow it? Okay, let's have a discussion. You want to call me up and say, look, I'm worried about Judge. I'm concerned about Judge. I'm concerned about the athleticism of Stanton and his inability to run. And I'm concerned about, you know, Verdugo and Volpe or whatever else. Let's talk about the concerns. They're all legitimate. I have a tough time with just being like, you know, they're going to lose, Chris, because they suck. It's every year. I have a tough time with that argument. I have a tough time with, oh, it's... they're never going to hit in the clutch. They never do. I have a tough time with that argument. And I'll push back on it because we don't know it's not what they're going to do. We don't know that they're destined to this fate. But the only time I'll yell, the only time I might even use the word idiot, is if you call me up and tell me Judge needs to be moved or benched, because that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Richard in Manhattan. What's up, Rich?
Chris. 17 postseason baseball games. 17. Yes. Guess how many the home team has won?
Less than half, right? The road teams won a lot of games. They've obviously split in every one this
seven
series.
Seven and ten.
Yep.
Okay. The four rested seeded teams are all 1-1. I take from all of this, all this jockeying for this record during the regular season, setting up your pitching, being well-rested, means beans. Even now, we're talking about when Cole's going to pitch. My friend, Zach Wheeler pitched an unbelievable game, and they still lost. No. So it doesn't matter.
No, I understand that, Richard, and thank you for the call. But, I mean, then what would you like to talk about? And, you know, to say that, oh, they're 1-1, okay. Well, the wild card teams all lost too. Like, I mean, you know, all the road teams have lost the game too. They're 1-1. You can't say there's been a major advantage one way or another. They're split so far. We'll see. And you're right. You're right. I mean, other than you would avoid the opportunity. Like right now, I'm sure the Atlanta Braves feel like I wish I had the bye. You know, you got to get through the wild card series. But you're right. It's about how you play in these games. None of it means anything. It's just a matter of how you play in these games. You put together the best team you can. You believe you built something that can win. They've won the most games over the course of the regular season in the New York Yankees and the American League. And you hope they play well come postseason time. Like, that's it. Like, we could blame Boone. We can get on Brian Cashman. Like, how are you going to get on anybody other than Aaron Judge if he goes hitless in this series? I know he's got one last night, but like, if he does nothing in this series and they lose, like, how do you get on anybody? Should they not have signed Judge? Do you not want him? Should they not play him? What should they do? Corey Seager went off last year. That's why the Rangers won. Mookie Betts has been the worst postseason player over the last 3 years in all of Major League Baseball. Like, the worst. Not just for a good player. Overall, the guy is like under 100. And they get eliminated from the first round every year since 2020. You know why? Because Mookie Betts is their best player up until this year. And he's done nothing in the postseason, so they lose. What should they do? Trade Mookie Betts? See if they, you know, see who they can go get? Maybe Jacques Peterson instead? You put the best team forward, and you hope they play well. One more call before the break. Vinny in Staten Island. What's up, Vinny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So I've been going back and forth past couple of days. I'm like, well, on the Mets side, I feel like they need in the offseason stronger pitching to entitle this playoff position, and their pitching staff is doing a good job.
Yeah.
The Yankees, to me, I don't know what it is, because if you look up and down the lineup, yeah, Glabe, you hit it before. Glabe has been doing good in the leadoff spot. I think Rizzo is hugely missed because of the fact that now you take, you put in either Cabrera or Birdie down the lineup. Stanton, you know, usually around the playoff time, you know, comes up clutch. I just don't know what else to do, because the fact that if Aaron Judge don't get going, this Yankee team cannot hit.
No, I mean, that's it, Vinny. There's nothing else to do. There's no magic formula. There's no managerial move. There's nothing they can do. They're doing everything they can do. The players have to perform. They have to hit. And again, like, we're talking about it like they've lost the series. They lost one game. So did the Dodgers. So did Philadelphia. So did Cleveland. They got beat with their closer on the mound. Their world-class closer. The only, like, that's what I'm supposed to fear about Cleveland. The one thing about Cleveland is that bullpen and the upstart Detroit Tigers took them for three in the ninth inning to beat them. Beat their closer, beat their bullpen, beat the strongest unit in the postseason in the American League. Like, so there's nothing to do. I think Boone's done a great job. I honestly do. I think Boone's had a great first two games. I think he's done everything right. And even with Rizzo, like Birdie, like I don't think this team was lifeless last night. Whenever you don't score runs, you can make that argument, but they got guys on. They worked walks. They hit the ball hard on several. Like, I know that, you know, people, oh, hit the ball hard. I get it, but they did. It's not like it was not like strikeout, roll over on a ground ball, roll over on a ground ball. Birdie has two. He laces one to left field. He laces one to right field. Volpe laces one to right field on a 9-pitch at bat. Gleyber Torres takes a curveball and smacks it directly to the third baseman. Like, they had opportunities where if any of those balls hit the ground, the innings might be different. They couldn't come through with the big hit. They are so tight in these games. And I'm hoping going on the road will help them. And the other thing that's going to help them is their big guy has to come through with the one big hit. That, I mean, if in the first inning, Judge puts one in the gap, this entire game is different. And he just hasn't done it. 888-808-1019 doesn't mean he won't. And it's only one game, you lunatics. It's a series. What did you think? You were going to cakewalk over everybody? Couldn't lose a game? You got to go out there and perform. And I know it's frustrating because they had an opportunity. They knocked out their ace pitcher in four innings. That's a tough game to lose. It's a tough game to lose when you get to their starting pitcher, their ace, and he's out of the game in the fifth, and you're dealing with that bullpen. You only score a one run in the ninth inning. Not good enough. No one's saying it's good enough. They're going to go to Kansas City and have an opportunity to take control of this series with a big win on Wednesday. I'm in the wrong chair. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. Come back. Take your phone calls.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That's right.
This love is getting kind of dangerous. Feels like it's a loaded gun.
Clay Holmes is obviously, if you don't know, this is the Clay Holmes music. Chris Stapleton. Let me just get the Clay Holmes thing real quick. We're going to get right to the calls, only because he played this song. And just for all you Clay Holmes out there, haters out there, and plus, I need a win tonight in one way or another. So if the Yankees aren't going to give it to me, I got to give you my Clay Holmes stat. Oh, I think I tweeted it. I retweeted it, so let me get it's easier just to get it from me. Clay Holmes. Yes. No Yankee in history. Ready for this one? No Yankee in history has thrown as many scoreless innings to start their postseason career as Clay Holmes. No Yankee in history has thrown as many scoreless innings to start their postseason career as Clay Holmes.
He's been better than Emmanuel Class A so
far. He's been better than Emmanuel Class A. He's been better than Edwin Diaz. He's been better than Devin Williams.
Definitely Strom.
He's been better than every reliever that the Phillies have. That's right. He is still scoreless in his Yankee postseason career. Just thought you should know that. Just thought you might like to know that. Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Christopher, good morning.
Hey, how are you, Pat?
I'm good. I finally figured out what wakes me up. It used to be Good Morning Campers. I think now it's John Lennon and the Beatles. Goodbye.
That's right. Well, I've always loved Good Morning off of Sgt. Pepper, one of my favorite songs.
That's okay. I feel like I'm rested, so thanks for waking
good.
Me up.
Well, no problem. Anytime there, Pat. You need me as a wake-up right, call, I'm there for
last
you.
Last game in the series before.
Yes.
I seem to remember Byung-Hyun Kim. Do you remember him?
I do. Yes, I remember him very well.
And so there's no such thing as a sure thing other than Mariano, and even he was not 100%. So.
No, I mean, Mariano has some very famous blown saves. There's no doubt about it.
I don't want to troll the Yankee fans. I simply want to say, we're still in New York. The Yankees hopefully will get a win on the road for you fellas. And we're in New York. One of my relatives has tickets tonight, and he's invited me tomorrow.
Nice.
So let's go Mets. And, you know, what it reminds me about Judge coming through is when Alfonso came through, it was like a moment of embarrassment. And he always seems to be embarrassed when he's being interviewed. He wasn't expecting himself to get it. Judge will get it, and Judge is cool under pressure. I think Alonso is not.
Well, I mean, we'll see. Alonso had his moment, no doubt about it. He's got to provide more. He did hit a home run the other day in game two. But listen, Judge has got to come through. There's no other way to play. And there's nothing else to do but to play. It's silly to think of anything else. He will come through. He's too good of a hitter. And, you know, people forget, like Evan was talking about it. If you look, like people who are just, you mention Andy Pettit. Oh, what a postseason performer. If you look at Andy Pettit, he's the same pitcher in the regular season that he is in the postseason. Like that's really what good players are. Good players are just the same level for the most part. No one remembers Andy Pettit getting lit up against the Diamondbacks since you mentioned that series. No one remembers that. No one remembers, what was it, 14? How many runs did he give up in game six of that World Series? Now, I know he was tipping his pitches and everything, but yes, I remember Kim very well. Brian in Milltown. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Chris. So I'm going game tomorrow because you wanted to hear from somebody.
Yes, you going
tomorrow,
to the game tomorrow? So, where are you sitting?
Yes, I'll be at the Mets game.
Today, I'm sorry. It is today.
Today. Yeah. I sit right next to where Evan is. Two sections over. Yeah. But I wanted to call you because I heard you talking about the purpose of the game is to hit the ball hard. And in that Atlanta series, that was one of the things that helped the Mets win. Tyrone Taylor hit that ball hard. You remember it spun back in because he basically broke the cover on the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that was so much hitting it hard as opposed to just hitting it in the perfect spot to create that spin and rip the baseball. But yes, no, it is. Yeah. It is. It's about hitting the ball hard. I'm open to a lot of pushback on analytics, right? I do think sometimes it's overblown. I've been yelling about analytics, and thank you for the call with the Yankees in game one of this series to bring the infield in a situation where it just absolutely didn't call for it. It was an absolute mistake. But analytics tells them over the course of the regular season they're going to save more runs bringing the infield in that situation than they are keeping the infield back. So they do it. It's a rote move. They don't even think about it. It's on high. I think the idea that Boone's a puppet is overblown and not true, but there probably are some overarching philosophies that are just, hey, this is what we do. And one of them is runner at third base, less than two outs. We bring in the infield to try and stop the run, plain and simple. But in a situation with two runners on, runners in second and third, where now a ground ball gets through, they score two runs and give up the lead. I'd rather play with the tie. We don't have to rehash that situation. But analytics in that situation, I think, are stupid. And sometimes when you have numbers that will play out over 162 games, you can't look at that the same way you can in one game in a five-game series. But the idea that people are upset about, oh, we care so much about hitting the ball hard. Yeah, I care about hitting the ball hard. And that's not analytics. That's every coach I've ever had since I was 7 years old. Maury in Belmore. What's up, Maury?
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro.
So, again, our boy Rodon, it takes that one inning that he gets poked a little bit, and he just can't handle the pressure.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy with all that money that I can't handle the pressure. That's number one. Number two, El Capitano.
Yes.
You know, first inning, would have taken that game to the next level. We've given up maybe 2-0. All he has to do is be a captain and hit when he's supposed to hit. Not hit all the time, not hit 1,000 home runs, but when you're the captain, you got to hit when you're supposed to hit. I'm sorry. I hate relying on Verdi and guys that haven't played their position. It just drives me crazy. And guess what? No one's afraid to pitch to the big guy. Huh? No one's walking the big guy because press. He looks bad. He looks bad at bat. He's swinging at those pitches that are inside and low. The ones that strike him out all the time, he's a sucker for it. And that's what we're going through right now. No matter what happens, he's still my captain.
Well, of course. Well, I mean, listen, you know, we'll see. And thank you for the call, Maury. Listen, he finished the game with a walk and a single. Let's hope he could turn it on. I think it's overblown how bad he's looked necessarily, but strikeouts are strikeouts. I think people, you know, read into body language, we're all body language experts. Oh, he looks tight. You know, okay. He looks tight. Sure he does. He hasn't come through, so he looks tight. It's easy to say. And right now, how could you argue? But I have faith he's going to come through. But you're right. He doesn't have to hit home run every at bat. There are certain situations, and he had two opportunities in the game, in both these games, in the first inning with two runners on and nobody out, and he struck out in both situations. You can't do that. Can't do that. You can't be the best player on the planet. You can't be the best hitter in the world. You can't be the highest paid player. You can't be the captain of the New York Yankees. And in consecutive games to start the postseason, have an opportunity to give your team a lead in the first inning and do something productive and change how the game is played from that moment on and fail miserably both times. Can't do it. Can't do it. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with your phone calls as we take you to 5 o'clock in the Warm Show right here on The Fan.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Let's try and get through as many calls as we can here on the last 5 minutes or so. 888-808-1019. It's been mainly a baseball show, but what kind of guy would I be if I don't give Brent Long Island a chance to gloat about the performance that was the Giants in Seattle and the performance of Daniel Jones? Brett, what's going on?
Chris, did you get the book I sent you?
No, I didn't.
The Rise of Daniel Jones and the Fall of Aaron Judge in the Postseason?
I missed that one. Nope. Did you send it here?
Oh, okay. It's coming to you.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it's coming to you. Yep. You'll get it. Chris, I didn't get the call yesterday. It was off. Sorry about that. But
no.
Again, you know, I'm winning in my 11 online social media group. I'm actually getting some support now. I'm getting support.
Sure.
And my friends' groups. Very quiet the other night.
Yeah, they're all coming
back. Nobody's
saying
anything. I got to ask them. They're like, oh, it's one game. But I got to ask you, are you changing your opinion at all? It's not magic, Chris, that all of a sudden he played like out of his mind. The line blocked so good. They're rated like fourth in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what guys dropping five passes.
Yeah.
Fumbling the ball on the goal line, which I wrote in the group. I said, Daniel Jones fumbled the ball on the goal line. It got returned. They should bench him.
The one mention of the group is fun. Then we constantly go to it. Let's just have the conversation. I hear you. Yeah. Have I changed my mind on Daniel Jones overall?
Yeah, you look wrong right now. This is great, man. I feel so good.
I'm glad you feel
so
good.
Wrong. You want him out of town.
Yes.
I love it.
I still don't.
How are you guys going to feel, though? When he does well, let's say we make a playoff run, Super Bowl, how are guys going to feel? And sit there in your houses watching the Giants. How are you going to feel? You should be ashamed of yourselves.
Really? Yeah, this
you
is
guys
where,
are sick,
yeah. So you think that because I didn't have faith in Daniel Jones, if somehow he miraculously takes his team to the Super Bowl, I'm going to be sitting there like annoyed? Is that what you think?
No, you'll be happy for the Giants.
I'll be happy for everybody. I'll be happy for me as a Giant fan.
The way you want him out of town and you're going to root for
him. What do you mean, want him out of town? Okay. I don't want him out of town. I want a better quarterback. And I haven't changed my mind completely that I still think maybe next year, in fact, I do think next year they probably still should get another quarterback. It's been one good performance, one really good one. Even playing well the other week, three or four throws that he didn't make cost them the game. He played very well in Seattle. Can't argue. Played very well. Hopefully it continues. Do I think that, I even said the other day, Seattle game made me think maybe there's a path for these two guys because I thought the coach had a great game and obviously Daniel Jones played very well. But I have to see a hell of a lot more. I have to see a hell of a lot more. That was one good game. I can give you a million bad ones. And he's still got to stay healthy for a full season. So you want to take victory laps, and I gave you a little run there because you deserve it. Daniel Jones played great, and I wanted to give it to you because that's fair. And you want to go brag in your 11 online group chats? By all means, go do that. But the idea that like I'm rooting for anything other than the Giants to be successful, I want the Giants to be successful. That's why I've been disappointed in Daniel Jones, and I still don't know if he's the future. Like you think that we've seen enough where Daniel Jones is the guy for the next 5 or 6 years, that the contract is going to play itself out, now there's no more discussion, it's over? Okay, you sure? He's got to stay healthy. I gave it to him because he deserved it, but I really didn't want to end the show on Daniel Jones. We'll get further into it. Call tomorrow, Brett. I can't wait. I'm so happy you feel confident in your argument. And the only problem is I want you to be wrong so bad, but then that goes against the Giants, and I don't want that. I want you to be right. All right, everybody. Let's go. Mets, 4 o'clock today, big game 3. Manaea on the mound. Let's see if any more magic belongs to the New York Mets that the New York Yankees have been unable to find. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Rami on the other side. I appreciate it. The warm-up show is next. Let's go, Mets. I'll catch you at midnight for a 5-hour midnight ride. That's right. See you then. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.